How you doing, everybody? This is Tim Whiteman with the Food Rights Show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, as Mr. Madsen said, the United States is coming to an end and its empire is crumbling. Can you feed yourself? FDA says that you don't have a right to eat what you want. USDA is clamping down even harder on local food venues, and that's what we're here for. I'm your host, Tim Whiteman. I'm board member of the Farmed Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which sponsors this program, and you can find us at farmedconsumer.org. The Farmed Consumer Legal Defense Fund is an advocate for local food rights, protecting small producers and consumers, pursuing public litigation to protect us from them. We have memberships for both consumer and producers with possible representation in legal matters related to producers. We'll be taking your calls about food rights at 1-800-313-9443. And we'll be joined at 8:30 or so with Johnny Oritz from the Hudson Valley. She's a local activist and food rights person. We're going to talk about what's going on in the Hudson Valley. Some pretty cool things going on there about local people coming together and learning how to take care of themselves to make sure that they have the ability to feed themselves. To give you a little bit of background, I've been looking into this food rights issue for about 11 years, and I had to peel back the onion, per se, to see where this all started. And my search, and I'm not saying I've got all the answers, because listening to the shows on the Republic Broadcasting Network, I'm beginning to think it goes a little farther than what I found. But our current food system and those who control it all started with the 1952 Farm Bill and this crazy idea that consumer economics and continued exponential growth was the new economic model. Back in the late 30s and 40s, most people bought what they needed, not what they wanted. And without world wars to keep us busy, economists were figuring out that this is going to be a hard economy to try to keep forward if people only buy what it is they want. So farmers were sitting pretty good back then. They produced food at a quality price, and farmers were actually doing pretty well. And they were pretty friendly with unions, and those in power decided, hey, we don't like this. We want this consumer economy to be pushed out, brought in, and the old just buy what I need economy based on rural economies pushed out. So along comes the 1952 Farm Bill. So essentially what it did was crash the prices and put everybody on a welfare system. That is, farmers on a welfare system no longer had parity. And that's what we have now. More after the break. This is The Food Show.
In Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, 1 heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Day to day, where do you want to be? 'Cause now you're trying to pick a fight.
Welcome back, everybody. It's your host, Tim Whiteman, with the Food Right Show. I represent the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and we're happy to be here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Right before the break, we're talking about how the first farm bill back in 1952 essentially brought us to, well, one of the reasons, we had the crash of November 2008. And we're talking about the economist's bright idea of having consumerism become our national growth model. And the first farm bill actually has language stored in the archives of Congress that actually, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but essentially what it says is we need to change our economy. Rural economies are too strong. We need a national economy. We need a consumer economy so we have extended and forever growth in our economy. And rural economies or rural people were actually highly, highly resistant to that. And so were unions. So the powers that be got together and got along with Congress and passed the first Farm Bill in 1952, and it had three unique measures within it, and it had a five-year goal to do three of the following things. One was to drop the price of products. Well, first it was to drop the parity program, which allowed farmers to make over what it cost to produce products. That parity program being dissembled was to force farmers into poverty so their children, who saw that there was no future in farming or any money in it, were forced to move to the cities. And when they moved to the cities, they were looking for jobs, which suppressed wages, because we needed workers to start making stuff instead of the goods that we just needed to get along. And our consumer economy was born. And essentially what we traded for a parity program was a subsidy program. And I'm sure everybody here listening to the show has heard something about the Farm Bill. They essentially create one for every 7 years. It costs untold billions of dollars in subsidies to essentially support farmers to keep them farming. But most farmers don't make any money on it, so they're actually working full-time jobs, and their wives are working full-time jobs as well. So what we have is a highly subsidized system for your food. Processors, all four of them in the United States, make out quite well on the subsidy system and feed it back to you that is very supportive of our healthcare system. So it's a pretty easy graph to create, to watch our healthcare costs as they rise, farm prices drop, and our healthcare is the new GM. So what we do at the Legal Defense Fund is protect your right to go to a farmer and say, hey, what do you do to your crops? How do you grow your stuff? What do you put on it? What don't you put on it? I want to buy it. And in some cases, a lot more than one would think, the state or the federal government steps in on multi-levels and says, you can't do that. The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund is currently suing the FDA over transportation of raw milk across state lines. And we got a response from them, and essentially what they said is, no American citizen or any world citizen has ever had the right to purchase the food of their choice and consume the food of their choice or feed it to their children. This was an actual statement. We have a copy of it. You can see it online at farmtoconsumer.org. And we at the fund and the lawyers that I work with kind of thought that this existed. Maybe this mindset was something that existed. But to have it in print, on court record, was quite extraordinary. But this is what the FDA is essentially saying, is you do not have the right to eat the food of your choice. Well, myself and the people I work with at the Legal Defense Fund, and a lot of consumers, and I imagine a few of are in our audience tonight, are thinking, yeah, good luck, and yes, I will eat what it is that I choose. This whole local food movement that we've been protecting now for over 3 years really started by consumers deciding that they did not want to be a part of the industrial food system. They did not like to see their tax dollar spent the way it was, and decided to take personal responsibility and go to farmers and producers and say, hey, I like you, you're close, I can keep my food costs down by buying from you, even if it is more expensive than in the store. And this is how the local food movement has started. We're now seeing social justice issues with food. We've got urban gardens, we've got rooftop gardens, we've got CSAs, we got beltway farms. I mean, the whole growing food to actually feed people, not corporations, is exploding wildly. And ever since our little hiccup that they call the Great Recession happened back in 2008, a lot of people have been thinking, what is important? I'm probably speaking to the choir here about paying attention, but that little hiccup called the Great Recession, well, that's what they call it. I call it something else. Really woke a lot of people up. And people are beginning to understand that this world isn't what it, what the mainstream media would like you to say. And the freedoms that we learned in third grade don't exist unless you fight for them. So that's where we're at, fighting for your ability to eat. What it is you want to possibly maintain good health through some sort of health crisis. A lot of the people I know are trying to maintain their health or use food as medicine to essentially keep themselves alive, because I've met many people that have been sent home just to die because they've run the gamut of the healthcare industry, and people started looking on the internet for the truth, waded through a lot of information, and found out that there is a healthier way to eat, there's a better way to eat, there's a cheaper way to eat, and there's a stronger way to eat. You can actually change local economies by supporting local businesses. And we're finding that big business and government, which, you know, it's interchangeable at this point, doesn't like that very much. And they lean on the FDA to, and USDA, Human Health Services, basically to control the flow of food and market share. I've always taken the opinion, when talking to groups of people, they ask, you know, where's this coming from? Why is this happening? Is it Codex? Is it, you know, the European Union? You know, is it corporate America? Essentially, it's a little of all of the above, but essentially what it is this is how business is done. They're using us to funnel money upwards. Our health is suffering because of it. Our local economies are almost non-existent, and people are deciding to do things different, and the Legal Defense Fund is there to make sure that you have a choice. Again, a lot of this information is on farmtoconsumer.org. Feel free to go to the website and bump around. And yes, we are a membership organization. Your membership helps us protect your right to the food of your choice and rewrite the laws and common sense of this nation as it relates to food. Later on in the hour, we're going to have Johnny Oritz join us about 8:30 or so, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the Hudson Valley. Some very cool things are going on in New England as it relates to local issues. A lot of people are concerned there, and it's not just in New England. The local food movement is everywhere, and all you have to do is punch in organic or sustainable. I remember when I started a farmer's market back in, boy, now you're making me think, back in 1995, I had people coming to me asking for products and building local issues. And to research how to meet the need, I would type in sustainable on the search engines back then, and sustainable agriculture didn't even come up. They could not find any cues for it. Now, you know, pert near 16 years later, that has changed quite a bit. And if things keep going the way we're going, and our government leads us down the path that they're currently seem to be dead set into doing, this whole local food movement is going to move into choice, into actual, I believe, in some cases, survival. You have to know where your food comes from. If anything, it's going to help you feel better. It's going to control your costs. You're going to know your neighbors. You're going to have solidarity. You're actually going to have strength within communities again. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, well, that's just not a fairy tale. That's how America used to work, and we're starting to rebuild that. And with people questioning where our government is taking us and corporations are forcing us to go, a lot of people started peeling back the onion, and no pun intended, but food is the thing they do three times a day. So, we're coming up on a break. After the break, we'll talk more about your rights and food on the Food Rights Show.
Cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, babe. Why'd you do me this way? Well, I never felt more like
crying all night.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back. This is the Foods Right Show. I'm your host tonight, Tim Whiteman. Next week, I believe we have Pete Kennedy on between the hours of 7 and 9 o'clock Central. And you can call me here at 1-800-313-9443. And we have Gary from Arkansas.
The Michael Rivero's What?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hang on a second here. My computer went nuts. Okay, now the cat jumped on the keyboard. Sorry about that. I've been listening to your program. It's a new program, and welcome to RBN. And there's a lot of people out here that enjoy this topic. A lot of us are trying to put back some food for hard times. Mm-hmm. And I, being a poor one, have... come across a couple of things that I've not heard hardly any of the survivalists talk about, and one of them is sprouting and the growing of wheatgrass and juicing wheatgrass. They're very, very inexpensive, and apparently I've been told that 1 ounce of wheatgrass juice is equivalent to 4 pounds of fresh produce. I think with the chemtrail spraying and the weather patterns and the earth changes we're facing, I think your probability of planting a big garden out in the wide open spaces is slim and none. I think you're going to have to go to enclosed square foot vertical gardening along with sprouting and other things. And So that was my comment on as far as the fresh produce goes. I can grow on a 9 by 9 inch sprouting tray. I can grow enough sprouts to feed me along with a loaf of bread baked in my bread man machine, you know, for several days. It only takes 4 days to do it. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I've been to some local neighborhood parties where we talk about food issues, and somebody seems to always be bringing wheatgrass in. It seems to be pretty simple to do, like you say. Most people just mix it in with the salads that we already have. My only concern is storing the wheat in order to sprout it. Do you have any ideas how you would do that? Do you buy it in, like, nitro-packed 5-gallon buckets, or is there another way to store it?
I have no financial ties with this outfit, but I buy my sprouting seeds from Life, L-I-F-E, lifesprouts.com. They have the sprouting trays there. They've got two sprout seeds. One of them is a called Clover Plus. The other one is Vita Pro Mix. And that just gives you a tremendous cross-section of nutrients. I mix those two together and sprout those. The secret to sprouting is you have to at least once a day, what I do is I take the sprouting tray and immerse it in a cake pan with a cap full of hydrogen peroxide, just, you know, the kinds you put on cuts. Food grade stuff is awful corrosive. You got to be very careful with that. And that gets rid of all the slime that might want to grow, but you have to rinse them about once a day, and that seems to work out quite well. The wheat, they sell that in 2-pound canisters, or you can buy the 5-gallon bucket. Main thing about that is you got to make sure you don't get any moisture in it and get some sort of a mold growing in it. I lost a 50-pound bag that I put in a large plastic drum and did not keep the moisture out of it. I lost that, but you just got to take care of it.
Yeah, so they basically clean it and make sure it'll sprout for you then, or can you use wheat if you're hard up? I mean, can you get any kind of wheat, or does it have to be this special kind of wheat?
They have all the stuff they sell is heirloom stuff that's suitable for sprouting, and of course you pay a little bit more for it, but Lord Almighty, you could take I use like two of the alfalfa measures, like 2 tablespoons of that, or 1 tablespoon of that with 2 tablespoons of the ProVitamix, and soak them overnight and put them in the tray. And I just can't eat as much as I grow, and it just, you know, we're talking about tablespoons full out of a 2-pound canister. It lasts almost forever, it seems like.
And you can do that in a warm spot in your house as long as you got sunshine, I would imagine, right?
No, actually, sprouting trays have a lid on the top and the bottom, and as long as it's not, you know, too cold, they actually sprout in the dark because they're in a mode of survival.
Well, there you go.
They require sunlight. Actually, you know, when they're done is when I sprout them to the point where they just start to do the little green leaves, just start poking out on the sprout, and that's when I eat them. You know, I've lived on homemade baked bread and sprout sandwiches for a week just as a test to see if it would work. Throw a little 1,000-ounce salad dressing on it, and I was good to go. Never was hungry and felt fine.
Well, I appreciate that information, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of my specialty, too, is not only working on the legal aspect, but I also work on soil and animal and soil nutrition and animal nutrition. And, you know, you can grow a lot of food in a small place. I mean, you don't need a whole backyard or 10 acres to do it. You know, it's something to think about, and every little bit helps if you're trying to drop that food dollar because... last time I checked, the food costs aren't getting any cheaper, so whatever you can.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's H-E-A-R-T-D-R-O-P. com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we're back. This is the Foods Right Show on Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, our guest has arrived. Johnny Oritz is a activist on the East Coast. And Johnny, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're real good.
Okay, great. Okay, great.
Thanks for joining us on the Food Right Show. So I've been given a little bit of teasers about what you do out there in the Hudson Valley. What new things you've been working on lately there? Here you got some interesting things going on with a community radio station, and fracking's an issue out that way, and we'll explain that what that is so they don't have to bleep us out every time. So
huge. Let's see. I'm the founder director of the Pharmacist Productions, and what we do, we're a very tiny, independent farm and food advocacy, educational networking, and business building organization. And we're a networking organization because this is, the hour is late, and we're trying to, short-circuit any kind of duplication of efforts. So we do a tremendous amount of networking with our non-farmer, non-profit educational organizations, and also, obviously, our farmers, and we're working towards an interdependent and also an independent stature for all of these people, all of these various groups, and in order to increase bioregional food shed security. And we're really focusing very hard this year on nurturing cottage industries in the greater Hudson Valley, which is in New York State.
Yeah, so when you talk about bioregions, you want to explain what that would be, like in your area?
Well, I can talk specifically about the Hudson Valley. We've got everything. I mean, that sounds very smug, and it probably is, but, you know, we've got incredible soils. We've got an incredible brain trust as far as producing food and real know-how. Even though the average age of our farmers is like 62 years old, we changed that last year, actually. It got up to 63 years old with the new farmers that are coming in.
Well, you're making progress then.
Yeah, we're totally making progress, but I'm very excited by that whole aspect of that, and we can talk about that a little bit later if you like. But we still have family farms, not a tremendous amount. You know, you earlier talked about the erosion of this whole passing down of knowledge through legislative attempts to completely abort that process. But nonetheless, we still have a good brain trust for growers, even though we've lost one or two generations to, you know, iPhones or iPads or Wall Street or et cetera, or aspirations towards those goals. But there's like an incredible influx of really smart kids, and most of them have degrees from MIT, UC Berkeley, you know, Harvard, et cetera, and they're choosing the farm. So this is really, really super exciting. But,
well, that can't be a bad thing. So.
No, it's not. Absolutely. And there are more and more and more. And actually, I have a program with food pantries that I'd like to talk about a little bit later. I'm sorry, I got off the original point here.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, I just wanted to get into what a bioregion was, and that's essentially...
Right. Okay. Yep. So in the Hudson Valley, we've got a lot of stuff, you know. I mean, as far as climate change is concerned, we're going to get more rain, which can be an issue. We had major blight issue in the Northeast, up and down the East Coast, actually, last year, which everybody remembers. So, I mean, that was certainly exacerbated by the rainfall that we had in June and July. But, you know, we still have water. We still have very good soils. We still have know-how. We have the Hudson River, which is a super highway into, you know, markets that will sustain the food shed. And, you know, I'm very excited about what we've actually got in the location that I'm in. And another piece for pharmacists, and actually I should spell that because it sounds like pharmacist. And it's FARM, capital A, SSIST, Productions. It's Farmer Assist. Which actually, it's very funny, actually, that it sounds so much like pharmacist, which is like, you know, obviously on the low end of our top 1,000 favorite people, but is to turn households back into, because they always were forever and ever, except for a very short period of time recently, into epicenters of production rather than these sort of black vacuous holes of consumption that we've become. And just to touch on something that you talked about a little bit earlier, Tim, instead of using the word consumer, if each time we inserted the word citizen, it would completely shift the discussion, which I think is very important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we became like a cog in the wheel of like a module or like a theoretical, hypothetical, now reality system for gross national product. And if we completely just like junked all of that and just went back to really seeing to the degree that we can, and I understand that there are multiple income families, you know, each person responsible for the family working several jobs or whatever. But there's something very profound, because I brought Shannon Hayes into the area to speak. She's Radical Homemaking. She wrote a book, a great book, mm-hmm. that I recommend everybody read. Radical Homemaking, Reclaiming Domesticity from Corporate Culture. And which it was just, there are a couple of lines in there that like completely you know, got my attention. And one of them was, you know, if you're farming, and this is farming or a small household, because now we have like all these urban growing techniques. I mean, no matter where you live, you can produce a lot of your own food. No matter where you live. I don't care if that's in Manhattan or Chicago or Los Angeles or whatever. And people are changing zoning rules all over the country. This is like a major wave that's washing across the country. But as a farmer, you know, it's not just what you produce to sell and the income that you generate from that. It's also what you make and you don't have to buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a senator from Maine that was trying to pass some, I think it was a bill within the Maine legislature to actually create production facilities so organic producers could maximize their sales, because he targeted the fact that there's no processing facilities strictly for organic, and it's holding back, you know, the organic movement. And I said, well, to myself, you know, I obviously didn't talk to him, I just read the article, well, wait a minute, we already have processing facilities, we just used to call them kitchens. So that's the thing about this local food movement, is people are learning to cook. It's not that hard if everything tastes good before you start. And to bring that back home and to where you source your food in the regions that you live starts reducing the cost, and you're starting to build that community. And that's the thing I love about the East Coast, is you can go 5 miles and from one town or one little, you know, chunk of some whatever county you're in, and go to just the same county but over a ridge or into another valley or into another town, you're into a whole nother, you know, subculture that's got its own issues, and it's its own things it can deal with. And that's what I think the beauty is, and that's why I think your work is so important, is our economy is no longer a 12-step program. Each region has to deal with its own problems and understand what its limitations are and the issues that they have to deal with. So
right. But the good news is that we can. You know, I mean, you know, lead these workshops, et cetera. I organize all these teaching events. And it's very possible. And there's, like, an incredible hunger for this information. You know, everything from, you know, repairs of clothing, and, you know, we've got so much wool that they, like, throw in the landfills because they really don't even know what to do with it, because mm-hmm. we've bred sheep in such a way that they really do need to be sheared every year because, you know, the particulars of their genetic programming and selection, et cetera.
Right.
And that's not GE or whatever. But,
oh,
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, most sheep producers I know don't even know what to do with the wool. And
most of them don't, yeah.
Yeah, well, they have no market for it. And it's like, well, you know, we used to know what to do with it. So, you know, how do we get back to that?
Well, so. I mean, but, you know, we're in a very – we have Old Chatham sheep herders, cheesemakers. They're the largest sheep milk producers in the country. Right here, and they buy from other places. They don't have all their own sheep or whatever, but, you know, I mean, they donate their wool. This is insane. It's like perfectly insane, you know. I mean, I'm doing a workshop this winter, you know, boiled wool, et cetera, and what to do with it, which includes everything from, you know, hats and mittens to booties to, you know, I mean, you don't necessarily want long johns out of this, but nonetheless, this is like a very valuable commodity, and all that is going into the waste stream rather than being used, as it always has been, you know, forever. This is a very valuable commodity. I mean, people are buying gold and silver, and I think that's great. You know, get yourself a skin, you know, I mean, get yourself a sheared sheep and see what you can get out of that, you know, and cut down on your bills.
Well, I think there's a few people looking for work. And that's the beauty of this movement, is we could put a lot of people back to work if we start making our own stuff. And, you know, there's a reason, well, there's many reasons why our you know, graduates of colleges are looking at agriculture. But, you know, I've been in agriculture all my life, and I've realized if I just stay close to it, I don't ever go hungry. And I usually have a job because there's always something to do in agriculture. You know, and what you do and what I do is try to disseminate that information out there, because it's almost lost. And it's like, this is just simple common sense. It's amazing how many people are beating their head against the wall because they're trying to relearn how to farm again. And it's like, well, talk to the old ones first, and before you, you know, spend years trying to figure it out yourself. I mean, that's the wonder of the internet, is able to move real information around and get people together. And then we get people like you. So what are the other projects you're working on?
Well, I just had some very interesting conversations on Friday. There's a very interesting group called Soul Aqua, and he's got a couple of offshoots, Sundog Solar and Coin Magnetics. He's Jody Rael. He's an engineer. He's an inventor. He's a, you know, completely socially oriented person, and also a bit of a hippie. So some of the business decisions have not been the best, but I mean, all of his concepts are like completely over the top spectacular, and ahead of their time. So you need to deal with local governance and structure and permit procedures, et cetera, and all of this. But he's got a facility that's about 150,000 square feet, and he's looking to do an incubator that is a closed loop of all the businesses that are involved in the incubator. And,
so was the closed loop mean? Are they just feed off each other or use each other's waste products, or can you go into that a little bit?
Exactly. I mean, totally. One business's waste product is another business's, you know, fodder. And, you know, and actually we're trying to get a slaughter facility in there also for soap making, leather tanning, you know, raw dog food, et cetera. I mean, all of these various ideas. So, you know,
so I think I think they call it zero waste stream now or something.
In
the old days it was using everything, but that's cool. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you would never, on a family farm, you would never slaughter an animal and not get absolutely everything you could out of that animal. So now there's something like, the last number I heard was 35% goes into the market, and the rest goes into the waste stream off of an animal. Not so long ago, all of these were super valuable inputs, and now they're like toxic outputs. And that is very easily reversed by simply paying attention.
And if you have somebody close by that can use your waste product as the beginning product for what they do, now all of a sudden you maximize what it is you have.
Well, and that's always the way that it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember
bones,
head cheese when I was a kid.
The bones were burned down to char and put into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, if the dogs, you know, that were working dogs, couldn't use them, you know, whatever was left, you put it back into the soil.
Yep. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's good that people are starting to think that out. But you say there's 150,000 square feet that they're trying to use this system on?
It's an old box factory, yep. And he's
box,
already
like
doing making boxes.
Huh. And where is this, Hudson Valley someplace?
It's right in Chatham Village, yep, in Columbia County.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what, let's see, you said there's going to be, I think you mentioned they want to put a butchering shop in there. So.
Well, Glenwood has done, Glenwood Institute, people should know about that. If they don't, they're doing an incredible thing. And,
Let's get into that after the break, so.
Okay.
Yep. Well, you're listening to the Food Right Show.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Everyone's the same. You work hard for your dollar and you never pass.
This is the Food Right Show. I'm your host, Tim Whiteman. And we have with us this evening, very graciously, Johnny Oritz from the beautiful Hudson Valley in New York, talking about bioregions and communities coming together and citizens actually becoming citizens and not just dutiful consumers. Did I get that right, Johnny?
Mm-hmm. Well, just drop it. It's a challenge. If you drop the word consumer and you insert citizen, it changes the context of every sentence that you would use that in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've started, when I talk to groups, I start, well, here in the Midwest, we're real big on cooperatives and CSAs, which is Community Supported Agriculture Ventures, and actually consumers have stepped out of the consumer role and they're actually partners with farmers where they actually invest in the farm or pay ahead to help offset costs and get products back, throughout the year. But it really changes that whole concept that I'm just a consumer and I'm looking for the cheapest and most bang for my buck, which pretty much got us to where we are today. But I tend to call them partners because they are partners, but your aspect, citizen fits that bill pretty well. Do you see in your region people becoming citizens and becoming proactive, or is it still like pulling teeth, or do you see some movement forward?
Well, I'm part of the movement, so I'm a little bit adulterated in the positive way, I think. So most of the people that I know are paying a lot of attention to this, and yes, definitely directly participating. But then there's also, major sort of like, I don't know, bleeps. So you're right. A good deal of people want to make sure that the status quo is still functioning and that everything's going to get fixed and all of that. So even within these smaller circles, there are people in what I see as very deep denial of where we are now, which is that I think that we need to be moving into, without this, that, or the other thing, an extremist, et cetera. I mean, I'm not so interested in all of that. But we do need to go into radical adaptation and just pay attention, without qualification.
Well, do you see people concerned that government's supposed to do this for us and we'll just, make some noise and then that's good enough? Or do you actually see people starting to realize that government may not represent our best interest and then start becoming more active? I mean, how's that working out?
Well, I just see the farmers, they've led every revolution in this country and they're the ones that are paying the most attention and paying the biggest price. And, but I have to say my absolute pet peeve is that farmers have this, because now we have a different demographic of farmers. I mean, there are farmers that just have 80 or 100 cows or whatever, and they want to milk those cows, and they just want to stay on the farm. That's not going to work anymore. That model is not going to work anymore. That's it. I mean, I'm very clear about that. And what you see is this whole new generation coming in, and they're doing probably 60 or 70% of their time off-farm.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that you're involved in that, Johnny, and if you...
Gold.